After our talk this morning, early, I thought more about that. When Moses was in the wilderness and God spoke to him, it wasn't.
Voice that Elijah heard. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in the still, small voice. And that's what the Lord is calling all of us. He wants us to hear that still, small voice. We don't need an expression of His power. Look at His creation. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to see God move and love to see His power expressed. But I shouldn't need it in order to know that He's real. I should be able to look at what's around me. I should be able to look in the face of all the people that are around me and see the image of God in them. It's coming to that place of just knowing Him as He is and seeking Him how He says to seek Him. Amen. I don't have a sermon this morning. There's just some things on my heart. I have felt a hesitation lately, and sometimes you feel the hesitation or you feel the hindrance and you push through. Sometimes it's the enemy and you've got to push through and just tell him shut his mouth and get out of the way and be determined and committed that you're going to go forward and you're going to bring the word of God. Other times it's your own flesh that you struggle against and you just got to push through. And then there are times after you've pushed and thought it was the enemy and after you've pushed and thought it was your flesh that you realize it's the Lord slowing you down the whole time. And you go, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to be pulling or pushing on you. That's the last thing I want to do. I want to be led. And I find myself at that place where I've pushed thinking it was the enemy. I've pushed thinking I need to get me out of the way. I've pushed thinking of all of these other things and realized that the Lord just wants me to just hold on. And what I feel in my heart is that some of the teaching and things where the Lord's been leading us, it's a warning not out of fear, but a warning out of love that says, unless we're applying what we've been learning already, we're heading into really dangerous ground. The dangerous ground comes because we're not applying, we're not allowing the Lord to prepare us, we're not laying down the soul, we're not forgiving, that's a big one. We're not doing all the things that we know that we're supposed to be doing, yet we keep wanting to get more knowledge. We keep wanting more revelation. We keep, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's beautiful to start seeing how God's laid out the word and see visuals of it and be able to understand it. But if we're not applying it genuinely in the heart, there comes a time when you start treading on dangerous ground because you haven't allowed the Lord to prepare your heart for it. And I feel like that we're at that place. We're at one of those places where the Lord is saying, hold on a minute. There's some things that need to be reminded of. I just want to hit on this. Judgments is one of the big things in forgiveness and forgiving one another. And I just want to read through a couple things this morning that we really just need to capture. It doesn't take a huge deep understanding. It just, we better take it at face value and listen to what it just says to us. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23, says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Okay? Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. He's saying, this is an example. This is the kingdom of God. Here is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what Jesus preached. We hear the gospel of repentance, and then there's the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus was once you've repented and you have faith in Jesus Christ that He's died on the cross for you, there is the kingdom of God. And Jesus preached the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is it. This is what's supposed to manifest in your life. And He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do so also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Every one of us, if you know Jesus Christ, if you have come to that place and you have humbled yourself before God and cried out to him in need of a Savior, and you've met Jesus, you've been forgiven of much. I've been forgiven of much. Much. More than I want to think about. Because of his mercy and his grace. That's it. I cried out to him, and he met us there. He met me there. For me to turn around and walk out the door and hold judgment against Steve or against Don or whoever it may be, anybody that I come in contact, for me to turn around and hold judgment against them, that they would repay me, that sense of when somebody has wronged me, there's a sense of justice that has been violated, and I want it to be made right. They owe me something. If I'm offended by them or feel they've wronged me in any way and I'm judging them, I have a sense that they owe me something. So when I fall on my face before the Lord and I've asked for mercy and I receive it through the blood of Jesus Christ by His grace, not that I deserved it, I couldn't repay the debt. There's no way I could have repaid the debt. I found myself at a place realizing I'd sinned against Him. And I couldn't repay the debt. No matter what I did, I couldn't have repaid all of the wrongs that I had done to the Lord. And He gave me Christ. Here's my Son. He's taken it all. And by His grace, I was saved from that debt. He wiped it clean. For me to walk out the door, for me to walk away from the presence of God, and to judge another man over some little offense, over what it is, over my little sense of injustice that's been done to me, I make myself as that unmerciful servant. For me not to forgive, for me to hold on to that offense, is what this is describing. It says, and the Lord was wroth. He had heard what he had done. He calls him back in and he says, I've forgiven you of this much, yet for this tiny little offense, for this tiny little debt, you've cast this man into prison. It says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. He reinstates the debt. He reestablishes it. So if I'm not forgiving everyone, then all of my past sins are reinstated onto my account, and the Father will not forgive me. The Father casts me to the tormentors. And the love in this is that word tormentors. And a tormentor, and there's, I'm sure, a whole lot of different theologies on what this means, and I'm not going to get into it. But the tormentors may be the people around me. The tormentors may be demonic. The tormentors, whatever it is, it may be illness. It may be disease. It may be a lot of different things, because all things were created by Him and for Him. And it says that He casts me to the tormentors. And the tormentor, the definition of that, is one who elicits the truth by use of torture or a rack. So the Lord will allow me to suffer. He will, whether that be illness or demonic or whatever it is, and wherever your belief is in all of that, He will allow that to happen. He will cast me to the tormentors in order to elicit the truth from me. The truth is, I have no right to judge anyone else. The truth is I am forgiven, and because I'm forgiven, I should forgive everyone else, because their sins against me are a fraction of how I've sinned and offended God. He will allow me to be tormented, to bring me to that place where I will humble myself before Him and ask for His forgiveness and be willing to release all of those other things from my life to make Him the central focus of my life. It's to elicit the truth. There's the love of the Father in it. He will allow me to be tormented in order to elicit or to draw me to the truth. Tell me that's not love. It's the same love that held Adam and Eve out of the garden when He cast them out of the garden. They were in a place of perpetual death. They had entered into death by their sin. And so that they didn't eat of the tree of life and stay in that condition forever, God cast them out of the garden and He put angels to guard the threshold of the garden so they wouldn't enter back in and eat that tree and stay in that way, stay in death forever. He had to stop it so that He could make a way. So He cast them out so they couldn't eat of the tree of eternal life. It's love all the way around. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We hold on to offenses and wonder why we're being tormented. Matthew chapter 6. This is probably, to me, I think about this, this is probably the scariest verse in Scripture for me. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It almost has the appearance like we're controlling God and what He's going to do. We were praying before the service, and I just thank God for the rain. And I know that there have been a lot of different churches and a lot of people that are praying and fasting for rain. Thank God for the rain. But our prayer also be, don't let us become arrogant in it and think that we prayed and caused it to rain. We better stay humble before God. Because Scripture says that He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. He's a merciful God. Yes, we're supposed to pray and fast, and we should be praying for rain right now. Praise God it's here. But at that point when it starts raining, for us to get arrogant and big-headed about it would be not a good thing. Everybody agree? This is the same way. This isn't a warning, you know, this isn't telling you that you have power over whether God's forgiving you or not. This is just warning you. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is right after, this is in progression of the Lord's Prayer. They say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He goes through the Lord's Prayer, and the first thing He says after He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You think the Lord wants us to get something out of this? I mean, the judgments are a big deal, Don.
You know, you walk off into a national forest. There's no fences or anything. You can't trespass. You can only trespass where somebody's taken possession of something. You cannot trespass against me unless I have taken possession of something that belongs to God. Why would I do that?
I've heard this statement a couple times lately, and it's just provoked me. I've been thinking on it, and I'm going to share it so that you can be provoked and think on it too. If I judge someone in their sin, whether it be me or someone else, if I'm judging them, I'm taking on their sin, is the way they said it. And I went, Whoa. I'm carrying the burden of that. Jesus took our judgment. He took his sin. He took our sin upon himself. He became the curse for us. And I've just been thinking about that. I mean, when I get offended at somebody, I'm taking their stuff on me. I'm carrying that burden. I wasn't created to do that. Jesus came and did that, so I'd stop doing that. There's a lot of truth to that. We get offended over some things we would say are just little things, and then we get offended over what we would say is big things. In light of my past, there isn't anything too big. When I look at my past, I don't care if it's a little offense or a big offense. It's just offense that I don't have to take on. I don't have to judge it. I don't have to go there. Is it really that important in light of the glory of God in my life? Do I want to take on something that's going to stop me or hinder me from being able to hear what he would speak to me in that still small voice that we talked about at the beginning? Do I want to take on anything? Do I want to let, am I going to allow anything to get in my heart that would hinder me from hearing from him and being in his presence? I don't want that. I catch myself all the time doing that. I was like, oh man, there we go again. I told my wife the other day, you know what? I wish I wouldn't get so wrapped up in conversations and things that are going on. Before I respond to something, say the name of Jesus before anything else comes out of my mouth. It might help me in my reactions to things. You know what I mean? Anybody ever do that? We have that instant response. And then I go, man, if I would have said Jesus before I ever said anything else, would I have said that? You know what I mean? Just one of the little quirky things for me. It's like, man, I need to start checking myself on this. See a lot of heads shaking, yes. Thank you. I don't feel alone anymore. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think I'm done with that part. Hey, like I said, I didn't come with an agenda this morning, just things that are stirring around. There's a meeting this afternoon, or possibly a meeting this afternoon about tithes. I would just as soon talk about it now and not have to come down here this afternoon. Because the chances are, a lot of you won't be here this afternoon anyway. And here's the deal. Here's why. This is one of those areas, just like worship, that becomes legalistic just like that. We get our junk in the way of it, bam, that fast. Some of us in this room understand tithing, have walked in it, believe in it, and it's not an issue. We present the meeting, let's have a meeting about tithing for people that maybe have questions about or anything else. But the truth is, those of you that are walking in the freedom of it and understand the principle, I need you in the meeting because you have something to share. This isn't just my meeting. We're supposed to be the church, right? Aaron?
What verse?
I'm trying to remember exactly. It says, who shall make war against thee, O God? And who shall set fires before thee? And I've been praying that, and I don't know why, but I've been praying that. And I said that the other day. So I was driving, I was speaking in tongues. And the next day it came out of my mouth, it was judgments. The thorns are judgments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if that's the case, pathways, then if that's the case, if you're laying in judgment, before him sit there and come to you, you're throwing it out there. In the military, we would sit there and use things to channel enemies. So the enemy is going to come in one way.
Right.
They're like little obstacles, and it's the best way for me to sit there and describe it. And we would sit there and channel so we could sit there and funnel somebody, like a sort of an ambush kind of thing. If you set things and barriers and blockades in people's way, things don't come in one way. And that makes it easy to sit there and kill people where they're going to sit there too. And when I sat there and saw with the thorns, we're setting thorns on the people too. Our judgments are affecting other people. Who shall make war against you, God, and who shall set fire before thee?
Mm-hmm.
And that, he just hit me hard when you're going to make war against you.
The judgments really kind of fit into this. with tithing, because there's a whole lot of judgment against the church and in the church about tithing and giving. This is one of the areas that it turns into religious this quick. I have hesitating on teaching on it because the attitude that you get back, and a lot of people have been hurt by this. I'm not saying this hasn't been abused in the church, but it's one of those areas that you don't want everybody to think, well, there goes the pastor, he's just after our money again. Man, if I'm worried about your money, then I'm not trusting the Lord for the provision. And who's going to end up dealing with that? Me and the Lord, because it's my trust issue with Him. It'd be my heart issue. But I want to share this because yesterday, for the first time, we could go on for hours. This is full. Full. Hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that refer to giving. All over. You can go to the law. It's chock full with the law and the tithes and all of the stuff. From one end of it to the other. And I've studied it and I've looked at it. I have read Malachi 3 that says to test me in this. I've read Haggai chapter 1 that challenges people and says, you know, you go to your sealed houses, what about my house? I've tested God in it and tithed and saw His faithfulness. I've been from one end of it to the other. And yesterday morning, I'm sitting there and the Lord made it so simple and so beautiful for me. Genesis 14 is the first place that the word tithe is used. And it's after the battle and Abram meets Melchizedek. It's Genesis 14, beginning of verse 18. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all." Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Notice that he says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, representing covenant. He blesses him, which we've been talking about the blessing. He blesses him, and Abraham gives him tithes of all. And that word tithe means a tenth of all. All of the spoils, everything that he had, he gave him a tenth of everything that he'd had. An expression of faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. I had this all in notes for the meeting this afternoon and didn't bring them, so we're just going to wing it. I like that. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually." Melchizedek is a type and shadow of Jesus. He is a type and shadow of our high priest. When it says that he had no, without father, without mother, it doesn't mean that he just was, okay? What it's talking about is there is no record of his lineage. There is no record that he came from a certain father. In the Aaronic priesthood, it was all about bloodline. You had to be a descendant of Aaron. He's saying this type and shadow of Christ had no bloodline. He had no official right to the throne. He was the priest, okay? And it wasn't based on who he was in the flesh. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I say, And as I may say, so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And then go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, and then I want to put this all together. And I'm trying to find the verse now. There we go. Beginning of verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's key. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham didn't give a tithe because there was a law telling him he had to do it. It was an expression of his faith. It was an expression of the faith to the high priest, that which represents Christ to us. By faith, he was giving a tenth or a tithe of the spoils, everything that he had, he gave it by faith. The law gave the Levites the right to take the tithe from the people, to demand it. There's the law. This is the law. You tithe. And when you have a law, you have to police it. You have the authority to force them. Okay? Law enforcement. Law enforcement or peace officer. I love that analogy. They had it by the law, and you can see the principle. The law is the type and shadow. It is the one, it's the schoolmaster. But you see it in the principle with Abraham by faith. Okay? And you go to Galatians and we learn, it's by faith, the people of faith are the true descendants of Abraham. It wasn't the blood of Abraham's lineage that makes us children of Abraham. It was the people of faith are the true seed of Abraham. If he gave them to Melchizedek, the priest, by faith, shouldn't we do the same? It's not a matter of it being law saying we're supposed to give a tenth and this is the rule. The heart and the faith should be there. Who are we giving it to? Does that make sense? It's pre-law. Takes all the legalism right out of it. It is a step of faith that we have as an example set forth by the father of our faith, which is Abraham. And in that, we too believe and by faith give it unto him. Don?
And then receive back with thanksgiving what he allows us to keep. It softens it a lot.
Yeah.
In other words, by faith, you give it all.
Mm-hmm.
All to thee, my Lord and Savior, I surrender all. No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do, what blessing do we have? Then the littlest thing into our life of this world as blessing, we can look back and thank him for. But if we retain the power, then we thank ourselves.
The scripture foreseeth that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The same promises that were to Abraham are to us by faith. Because we are the seed or the descendants of Abraham through the seed of faith, not by bloodline. Does this make sense? It's everything we're talking about. We get so worried about the finances, and I've actually heard testimony and heard it in the service that the Lord moved on someone to give. They knew in their heart we're receiving an offering, and everybody's giving and worshiping God. And the Lord spoke to them and said, give them what's in your purse. And out loud, it worked them so hard, they came and talked to me about it out loud. They said, no! And then they caught themselves and realized what they'd done. I've had times like that with God, not necessarily over the tithe, but I've had it where it hit me a thought, and by faith knowing the Lord is speaking to me about something, and I react to it in such a way that out loud I just can't contain it. And it's like, no, I can't do that. But God... And we stop. Anybody ever had that experience where you, and it's not like I heard an audible voice. God was just working on me. He was just working on me and said, Mike, I want you to do this. What? Say what? Wait a minute, you need to rethink that again. Are you sure about that? Praise God for grace. There are scriptures after scriptures, and Donna had a whole packet full of just pages and pages of scriptures reading about finances. If you are interested in them, we'll get them in your hands. But if anything, all they should do is bring you to that place of faith where you see the faithfulness of God in it, where you're willing to give by faith. If we're doing it because it's a rule, we've lost it. We've lost it right there altogether. If the Lord puts on your heart to give a tenth, give a tenth. That was the example set forth by the father of our faith. Okay, I can't see where it would be less than that. But if the Lord's telling you to give everything, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not checking you on it. That's between you and God. But isn't it time we find that faith again? Just like in worship this morning, it's not about the song or any of that. It's just a matter of, wait a minute, by faith, do you realize that by faith, He's standing right here in front of you? By faith.
J.C. Penney was a tithing man.
Yes, he was.
He started out tithing a tenth, and when he died, his empire had grown immensely, and he was tithing 90%. And since then, the company has fallen, but it doesn't tithe anymore. It was not the company it once was as far as growth and power.
They also didn't used to use credit. It was all layaway. It's changed a lot of that stuff, and you start seeing it's time, as the church, we need to return to the godly principles. We need to step back into this in faith. We need to give in faith, knowing who our provider really is. If we need to talk more about it, then let's talk. I love this atmosphere because there are people here that know the faithfulness of God in their finances. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away.
Amen.
Do you know God faithful in your little, and do you know Him faithful in your much? The heart work is with us. I've had much, and sometimes we think, well, I can't tithe because I don't have enough. And then all of a sudden God gives you enough, and you can't go, well, the church doesn't need that much money. I've been there. I'm not kidding. The thoughts have went through my mind. Okay? I'm going to tell you, the thoughts go through your mind, but it always comes down to the question, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be faithful to what the Spirit of God is speaking to you in that still small voice that you know? Bill?
At first it becomes a step of faith in the process of tithing. And I find it's a full of gratitude and peace of knowing your Heavenly Father is so important to you. That He gives you that you can give.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace that is beyond understanding.
Yep.
Because you just lay back and rest in.
Amen.
Because it's no longer a burden. This is yours.
How many of us would like to get rid of the burden of paying bills? Money a burden to anybody? I've got 7 kids. I'm watching what's going on right now, and I'm looking in the refrigerator thinking, how, you know, and I'm telling you, the question runs through your mind. And if the economy goes and the food prices go way up, how am I going to feed my family? Guess what? There's one answer to that. My provider. That's it. I share from the heart. This is something you're going to have to walk through. God is gracious. There's no condemnation in it. None of that. I'm not, yeah. This is one of those things that you've got to search out and know. The issues of the heart. A lot of times what you hear me say, and even in the example, spirit, soul, and body, or the tabernacle, the veil, the heart. The issue of the hardness of heart, the biggest issue that we struggle with is judgment. Judgment, plain and simple. Plain and simple. If I'm judging Roger, I'm not trusting God with Roger. The whole core of judgment is trust. And am I going to trust Him, or am I going to trust myself and my own means of doing it? That's where the judgment and the things we've talked about today, that's where they tie together. The tithing is an issue of trust. The judgments are an issue of trust. The Lord is drawing us to a place where we learn how to trust Him. And the problem is sometimes we think we're trusting Him, and then it gets tested. Then it's like that piercing comes, and it's like, really? Is on the inside the same as what's on the outside coming out of your mouth? And you go, oh, that's ugly. Yeah. Jackie?
If I pay my PG&E bill faithfully, and I suddenly run out of money, and I can't pay my PG&E bill, they're going to shut my power off. They don't care about me as a human being. Could care less. I'm a dollar bill. What I give to God, God cares about.
Amen. Thank you.
And if we can't put in His storehouse and care about each other, what good is our money?
Praise the Lord. Thank you. That's a neat way of thinking about that. PG&E don't care about me, but God does. Thank you. That's beautiful. That's cool. Crystal, did you throw your hand up, or were you just stretching?
You want your faith to grow? No, you're not. Because it stretches you in the way that you'll see it, and then your faith is formed. And it's like, it's just a faith builder to me.
Yeah.
To see God work in the way that He does. I don't know how He does it.
if we get really honest about it, this is where I'm talking dangerous praying here. Okay, I'm sharing from my heart. This is what I went through. I have had little, was living week to week. Started working, God was blessing, and I was seeing God open up the windows of heaven. I was making more than I ever had in my whole life. All these things were going right, and I had worked through. There were times when we call it closing the circle, and it went beyond the tithe. I knew what it took. Okay, I would tithe, which are the first fruits, okay, and then I would pay all the bills. I knew what it took for our house, for the cost of living. Okay, and the Lord said, I want you to do that. And He goes, then I want you to take 10% of the net and put it into savings. And then everything else over and above that I bless you with, all goes to the kingdom. Walk through that for a while. That was a challenge, especially when you're making more money than you ever have. And then you go through other times when you start making more and you've gone without for so long that there's certain things that you want and you need, and you end up putting yourself into debt. And then the thought is, I can't afford a tithe. Well, we've positioned ourselves where we think we can't afford it. You know what? You see what I mean? I've been here in all of this. We make mistakes, and rather than repent for it, we just start withholding from God. We start moving and jockeying and thinking that we're hiding things and we're doing okay with it. We're not. If we buried ourselves in a place of debt that we can't afford to pay our tithe, truth is, you can't afford not to. You can't outpay God. But we'll position ourselves in it, and rather than repent and ask God for forgiveness, I've done it. He's walked me out of debt in ways that I thought were going to take years to get out of it, and He's done it. Clean slate, no debt. And I turned around and put myself back in debt again. Whoops. And He's gotten me out of it again. God's been faithful, and it's not what goes on with you isn't going to be the same with me. I'm just sharing. These are the things, the reason I can stand here and share my heart with you about it is because I've seen the faithfulness of God in my disobedience and in my obedience. He brings rain on the just and the unjust. He still took care of my needs. He still provided for my family. He still watched over me. But at a certain point, shouldn't I learn the principle and go, okay, God, I'm done with me. I'm giving it all to You. That's the whole purpose of it, is to bring glory to His name. Lord, I'm done with this whole pattern. I'm done with me, and I'm surrendering. I'm going to be obedient in this. Now I've come to that place where I'm truly trusting him. He showed himself faithful even when I knew I was doing wrong. Does that make sense? All right, go ahead.
First fruits.
Now you have income tax coming. And you pay on your income tax amount. That was the question I got. Well, you already paid it, so why don't you pay it again?
Can I share from my experience? I was getting so particular about it that I started breaking it down and what was actually tax return and what was just child credits and all of that stuff. And then I realized, Lord, I can't do this. This is stupid. And I just chose to tithe out of it. Okay? I just chose to give out of it. And it was down to that heart. I've been there. I've had all the questions and all the stuff. Well, you don't owe that as a tithe. And I've heard the whole thing. Somebody gets a loan. And do you tithe on a loan? You don't want to go there with me. I'll warn you now. It's all about who are you trusting. The whole thing. It's the trust issue in our heart that hinders us from hearing that still small voice. It's the trust issue in our heart that hinders us from entering into worship. It's a trust issue that we have to start taking the step of faith, saying, man, I know it was hard for some of you for me to walk by and say, some of you it was like, okay, he's standing right in front of you, what are you going to say? And some of you it was just like, you just mumble it. It's you did it, but it's really uncomfortable. It's hard to do that. Sometimes it's a step of faith to just raising a hand and saying, Lord, here's my hand. I don't know what your step of faith is. But when the Lord's provoking you, it's out of love and he wants to draw you into that place of relationship with him. And I guarantee that if you take that step of faith, he's got you. Whether it be in your finances, whether it be in your judgments against people that have hurt you, whether it be in a time of worship, whatever it is, the Lord wants us to come to that place of knowing how to trust him. And it comes with trial and error, but it comes with great victories also. We got to start stepping out. Donna?
This kind of goes along with the judgment and the trust, and God hit me upside the head with this last week. It's Numbers 21. Starting in verse 8. No, I'm sorry. Gosh, I just had it. Go ahead, Don. Here we go. And it's in verse 4. And then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient along the way, and they began to murmur against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness, they complained. There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this wretched manna. And in my Bible at home, it said their souls loathed the bread. And I heard God say, they loathed my provision. And that just really pierced me. It's like, if I'm not thankful for his provision, then it makes it really hard for me to express that like Abraham did. Because I'm loathing God's provision. Like, yikes.
Yeah. It's that, like I said, that we loathe the provision. When you think about it, and we've made so much out of blessing our food, you know, got to say grace before we eat. And if you look at the pattern in Scripture, what Jesus does is he sees the food and he lifts up his eyes towards heaven and thanks the Father for the provision. It's with a thankful heart. And then he blesses the food. He's giving thanks and he's blessing it. It's the same thing for us. How often do we thank you, Lord, for this food, Lord, and we ask that you bless it? No, the Lord has already blessed it. He created it. He's given it to you. Are you going to bless it? He's put the word in your mouth and in your heart. You do it. Back to that thing out of Deuteronomy. Do you know what I mean? It's the thanksgiving. It's recognizing in that place of trust and being thankful and recognizing that whether I have little or have a lot, it's from him. And regardless of all of that, he's got me. I belong to him. I am a child of the king. He's clothed me with a robe as the prodigal son. He's put a ring on my finger and he has killed a fattened calf for me because he's excited that I've come home. And it's the same thing for each one of you. Amen. Let's learn how to trust the Lord together. Amen. I think I'm done. Let's stand. Well, we had church. Travis, the wilderness is a good place. Just take a deep breath and walk. Okay? He's got you. He's surrounded you with people that love you. And brother, you don't just stop trying. You know what I mean? You are in a great place. Okay? You don't have to try to be a good man. Lord already says, that is my son, and he's a good man by the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. You're his child. You don't have to try, man. That's not his burden. That's yours, brother. Okay? All right. Bruce, you've been awful quiet back there. Will you close in prayer this morning?